Well, hello once again, and welcome to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy it is to be a part of their Saturday morning lineup. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm here, and I hope you're listening, because I've got a very special message for you today, and I just know, that you're going to receive a blessing if you but listen carefully. Okay. Now, the title I've given my message, well, it's quite a simple title. It's called, God Had a Plan. God Had a Plan. Well, I don't think we can doubt that, can we? Oh, I believe with all my heart God had a plan. He's going to see it through till the end, too. You know, when I was a young lad now, not yet in my teens. I was at a stage, well, when I needed a hero in my life. I needed a real live hero, someone I could look up to, someone, I remember, this is funny. Anyway, bear with me. Roy Rogers, some of you out there know who Roy Rogers was, huh? Or is, I think he passed on now. Anyway, Roy Rogers was my favorite cowboy. And we lived in a small town, and we had one theater there. And on Saturdays, the theater would play these Western movies. And a lot of them were Roy Rogers movies. Roy Rogers. Of course, there was Gene Autry, and there were others like Hopalong Cassidy and what have you, but Roy Rogers was my favorite. You might say he was my teenage idol, because I wasn't even my teens. I would say be 7, 8, 9, 10 in that age range, but anyway, he was my favorite idol. And I didn't know anything about, you know, God or Jesus or nothing like that, because my family wasn't what you'd call a religious family. My dad, he was a Catholic, but he was a non-practicing one from what I could see. Of course, he was away a lot, fighting wars here and there. But my mom, she was a Protestant, and I guess they might have had a little bit of conflict there and the two, so they never seemed to like take the family out to church. Anyway, as I said, God had a plan. Yeah, you know, in my teens, well, I was at a stage when I got into my teens, I was at a stage when I needed a hero in my life. A hero. Not Roy Rogers or Gene Autry, you know, or Hopalong Cassidy. No, I needed a real hero. All right? Someone to look up to. You know, I always admired my dad because he was a good soldier and was away in the wars and stuff like that, but I needed someone at home who I could look up to. A hero at home. Okay, I had two brothers. They were older than me. But somehow it didn't work out that they become my heroes. They had their own life to live. And I had mine, I guess. And I was the youngest of the three sons. And that's all it was. Someone to look at. You know, someone, I wanted a hero, someone I could brag on. Not a comic book hero or a cowboy with a trick horse, no. But someone I could reach out and touch. Someone I could reach out and touch. Someone with the great power. I didn't know what the power was, but someone, you know, who would just get me excited and say, wow, is he ever good? Oh, man, I want to be like that when I grow up. You know, the type of hero I'm talking about. That's when I was a kid. That was back in the 40s and early 50s. My dad, well, he was away most of the time, like I said, fighting a war and somebody else's country. And he was away a lot too when he was home, if that makes any sense, because when he come home from the military, he'd go fishing, and he'd be away fishing for a long time, and then he'd go and work on a survey vessel up north, you know, in northern Canada, and he'd be gone like all summer. So Dad and I didn't have a whole lot in common, and I was kind of like, I felt I was on my own, and my brothers were kind of on their own, too. So we kind of drifted apart. You know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, you know, I never got to spend my precious youth with relating to my brothers or my father. Being the youngest of the three brothers, well, it seemed I was always, you know, well, always at the lower end of the scale, you might say. I guess I believed in God, but I never had a relationship with Him. You see, God lived too far away. And everyone around me just didn't seem to care. No, didn't seem to care. You know, it's been said that before you can have a relationship with God, you need to put away that relationship you have with self. You know what I'm saying here? In other words, stop, you know, trying to be something you're not. Stop putting yourself on a pedestal. But you still needed to identify with yourself. Know who you were and what you wanted in life. You know, I don't want to get into all the psychological stuff, but I think you grasp what I'm saying here. You know, God says in His Word, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Hey, that sounds pretty good. You know, I didn't quite understand it back then, and I probably didn't talk much about it, but, you know, when I got saved, some many years later, you know, then all these words that are in the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, they just come alive. Oh, they come alive. But God said anyway, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He also said, "He that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." I will in no wise cast out. Wow, I like that part. That means no matter how I behaved, how much trouble I get into, He would never forsake me. He would never forsake me. He would never cast me out. Wow, that was good. How great is that, I thought. How great is that? Wow, a good relationship up front with God. I like the idea, but I still didn't know too much about it, you know. You see, the only problem was, how do I do it? How do I do it? I mean, have a relationship with God. The Bible says, "He that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." No wise cast out. No wise cast out. What's Jesus saying here? "I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that similar to, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Pretty close, huh? Does it not mean that, "Come unto Me for salvation"? Yeah, that's what it means. Of course. It's His great invitation unto salvation, to have a personal relationship with Him. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. After all, He is the sent one. He is the Christ of God. Yes, He is. So, how do I have a relationship with someone I can't see? How do you have a relationship with someone you can't see or touch? With all due respect, is it not similar to having a relationship with the girl down the street that I had a crush on, but her daddy wouldn't let me come near the house? Well, I don't want to go there now. You know, my Catholic priest, I was a Catholic at the time, my Catholic priest told me that first of all, I had to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then I could have a relationship with the Father. Father God, right? But I didn't want to have a relationship with her father. Talking about the girl down the street, right? I wanted to have a relationship with her. Well, it took a while for that to sink in. You know, there is a difference here, God the Father and the father of your girlfriend down the street. Oh, yes. You know, life can be complicated at times. Yeah. Especially when you're young and programmed to the ways of the world. Life is like that. This is why God intervened. That's why He gave us His Word. So we'd find direction while we find Him. Now, even though God created everything for our pleasure and our understanding, He also placed a holy seal. A holy seal, now you hear that? Upon His creation. A seal that was a divine benchmark for us to follow. That's the way I thought about it. I mean, I think about it today as the same thing. A seal that was a divine benchmark for us to follow. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And He didn't just simply set it before us and say, go to it, go for it, enjoy. No, but He included an instruction booklet. It's called the Bible. The Holy Bible. In the beginning. You have to go back to in the beginning. See where everything got started. It originated from who God really is and how powerful He is. Oh, yeah, the Holy Bible. A book like unto none other. A book blessed from above that would tell us the beginning to the end. A book of divine instructions from the pen of Almighty God. From the pen of Almighty God. You know, it's been said that if we were to follow completely, if we were to, completely follow every instruction in God's Word, that's almost impossible, isn't it? While we're in this old flesh. But God looks upon the heart. He knows if you're trying. He knows if you're trying to be faithful. He knows if you mean what you're saying. You see, our divine and omniscient God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's all going to come to the end, how it's all going to work out, how it's all going to come together. The end from the beginning. He desired that His creation should have free will. Have they got that? God, knowing the end from the beginning, desired that His creation should have free will. Now, when I'm talking about His creation here, I'm not talking about the birds and the animals and the plants and all that. I'm talking about mankind. Okay? He desired that we should have free will. You see, God could have kept us in perfect harmony with no need for instruction in righteousness. Yeah, He could have. No need for instruction in righteousness. Everything would be instilled within us. That would have left us. Now listen to this. If that were so, that would have left us mindless. And even robotical. Not being able to think for yourself. That's not what God intended. You see, God had a plan. God had a plan. Everything He created would have a purpose. A purpose. Even the ragweed carried by the wind that provokes us to sneeze and clear the cavities of our mind. Or the sudden downpour of rain to cleanse and revitalize the earth. Wow. God did have a plan. A plan that the earth would bring forth vegetation and plants of trees and grass. A plan that would cleanse the air we breathe and supply food for human growth. God had a plan. He wanted us to want Him. That was part of His plan. He wanted us to want Him, but He didn't want us to be forced into a relationship with Him. He wanted us to come of our own free will, believing what happened at Calvary through Jesus Christ, who paid for the sin of the whole world so that we could have a relationship with God the Father. He wanted us to want Him. Yes, He did. Therefore, within the human soul, He provided all mankind with an escape from the second death. The second death. A Savior who would take away the sins of the world, the sins of humankind. Jesus Christ. Yes, our holy and loving God didn't just plant us here like the trees on the earth. No. He suffered our weaknesses and made way of escape. Made way of escape. John 3:16, we all know it. But I'm going to say it because it's important here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's probably the most important verse in the Scriptures. That's how much He loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Because we could never escape the sins of the world. We needed someone else, someone who was holy. We needed God in the flesh. We should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting is forever. It's not like the life we have right now on this earth, where we live for 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. It's everlasting. Forever. Now, who is there among us? Who is there among us that would sacrifice, I ask you, that would sacrifice their only begotten Son to unleash the bonds of sin that we might have a new life where sin doth not abide? Who else? Wow. God had a plan. Yes, He did. But you know, as great as was His plan, the final decision would be ours. Ours. God didn't say, "You're coming to Me. You're coming to heaven, whether you like it or not." He did not. He wanted us to come because we wanted to be with Him. And He set out a plan that included His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, what a plan it was. Like no other plan. God had a plan. But as great as His plan was, this is it, folks. The final decision would be ours. Yours and mine. The door to heaven is open wide. The arms of the Almighty are reaching out. But one day, according to God's perfect plan, the door into His presence will close. Have you got that? One day, the door into His presence will close. When? We know not, for God's calendar is not our calendar. But it does say, the Word of God does say, "Look up, your redemption draweth nigh." In the end days, or the end times, things will wax worse and worse. Are they not? Look around you. look around you and say, oh, no, everything's okay. It's even better than it used to be when I was a kid. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Then you're blind. You're blinded by Satan. We know not for sure of God's calendar, for it is not ours. But, here's the big but, His holy book, the book of the saved, is reserved for those who will make their reservation before God's clock for mankind runs out of time. Have you got that? Before God's clock for mankind runs out of time. Now that's an ominous thought, isn't it? Have you reserved your mansion in the presence of Almighty God? Have you? Have you reserved your mansion where He is? You say, I hope so. And I say unto you, only God is the true hope. He is. Won't you reserve your room today? Huh? It's easy. Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Simply by believing on what happened at Calvary. That's where it all lies, at Calvary. You must believe why Jesus went there, why He suffered and bled and died. It wasn't because of anything He'd done wrong, no. It was because He became a propitiation for our sins. He was the only one, and is still today, the only one without sin. He's the only one that could have stood in the breach for us and took our sin upon Him and cleansed us with His holy blood. Wow. Wow, won't you reserve your room today? It's the room with number 7 on the door. Okay? Well, how do I do that? You may ask. How can I make sure? Simply by believing on what happened at Calvary? I'm glad you asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you got that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Which doesn't mean the structure. It's talking about your family. If they likewise believe. Luke 13:3 tells us, quite simply actually, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's not a pleasant thought. You might say, well, I'll perish, and yeah, okay, and I just won't go to heaven. I'll be dead. Out of the picture. Wrong. Wrong. No, you will go somewhere. You will go directly to hell. Directly into the presence of the evil one. For all eternity. And that won't be a pretty picture. It won't be. If you think for a moment that you are qualified to enter heaven's gate, then may I direct you to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you got that? For all, that's you, me, everyone in the world, whether we realize it or not, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus suffered and died to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, the sins of the whole world. Without His great sacrifice, it would be impossible for any to pass through heaven's gates. Impossible. You know, there are still those who think that it's too hard to go through this world without sinning. It's too hard. God understands that. That's why he allowed sin to reign as it does. God knows this. As long as we're in the flesh, well, guess what? We'll be prone to sin. This is so true. And this is why the Word of God says, wherefore he, Jesus, is able to save them, us, to the uttermost. How? By constantly making intercession for us? Oh, yeah. The power of the cleansing blood forever cleaveth to the soul of the saved. Have you got that? The power of the cleansing blood forever cleaveth to the soul of the saved. The soul of the saved. You cannot lose it. You cannot lose it. You are stuck with it. Or should I say, it is stuck to you. So, my friends, when you're caught in a moment of weakness, when the flesh is fighting against the spirit, then call out to him, God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. He's there. He's always there, waiting to renew you, to stand beside you, no matter what the challenge may be. Remember this. If you never remember anything else, remember this. He, Jesus Christ, will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Once saved, always saved. I hope and pray that this message today has been some kind of a blessing to you. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, and you know, I'm getting up in years, and sometimes I flub my lines, or I don't say it the right way I should, or put the emphasis in the right places I should. But you know something else? I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that. And I know that he's blessing me, and he's given me this ability to do this. And I know that when I bring out a new sermon every week, that God has to approve it before I can submit it anywhere. And I bring it before his throne of grace. I just want to bless you. I want God to bless you. And I thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week. For I ask in Jesus' wonderful name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.